You're listening to Radically Pragmatic, a podcast from the Progressive Policy Institute. We talk with lawmakers, policy experts, and thought leaders about the issues driving the news nationally and internationally. The Progressive Policy Institute is a catalyst for policy innovation and political reform with offices in Washington, D.C. and Brussels. Its mission is to create radically pragmatic ideas for moving America beyond ideological and partisan deadlock. We encourage analytical conversations, not your typical partisan talking points.
Hello, and welcome back to another edition of the Roz Reports podcast. My name is Curtis Valentine. I'm the co-director of the Reinventing America Schools Project at the Progressive Policy Institute, and I am here in Austin for the 2023 South by Southwest EDU Conference. So excited to be here and so excited to bring our series, a podcast series we're calling What's Next? The Future Is Now. My opportunity to speak with amazing leaders who are here with me in Austin to hear about what they see as the future of education. On this episode, I have Janelle Wood, who is the founder CEO of the Black Mothers Forum, and so glad to have her with me today. How you doing, Janelle?
I'm doing well, Curtis. Thank you for having me today.
So what brings you to Austin and to South by Southwest?
You know, it was always a pleasure. I came for the first time, I believe it was last year or the year before, and I was so excited to be invited to come back to really speak on the panel that I got a chance to be a part of regarding the unveiling of the Black Parent Survey and our focus on what we'd like to see in education for our children. So this is what drew me, and I'm excited to be here.
So tell us about the Black Mothers Forum, what you all do, and also what about the work that you do most excites you?
Yeah, so Black Mothers Forum, we came together. It's really interesting. We didn't come together initially to focus on education, but this is where we ended. We actually came together in August of 2016, about 40 mothers, and we were really focused on addressing the police brutality and the killing of our unarmed Black sons and daughters. And as we continue to do our work and to speak and to get more and more educated, we recognize that we really need to pay some attention to the educational system because that is where we were finding our children were initially facing discriminatory practices, being criminalized for minor behaviors and things like that. So our focus and our purpose became about, promoting healthy mindsets and relationships to end the school to prison pipeline. And so as we continued in that work, we got involved in the schools and really started to see what was going on in our school system, especially when it came to how they were addressing discipline with our Black sons and daughters. And then they were being pushed out of school for extensive periods of time, really interrupting their educational process.
And so talk a little about sort of what you all do now, but also what are you all, preparing for as you move out of this conference in the future? What are some of the next moves of the Black Mothers Forum, particularly around this research and some of the survey data that you all unveiled here at South by?
Yeah, so, what we're currently doing is after we had a chance to see what was going on in this survey, I wasn't shocked nor surprised by the results that they found, that EdChoice found with Black parents across the nation, that one of the number one reasons we are pulling our children out of the traditional public school setting and some of these other charter school settings is because our children are being bullied. And with that bullying comes some comes fear, and it comes some retaliation, and our children are responding to that. And unfortunately, the adults in the space do not see them as being bullied, and therefore our children's claims of being harassed or terrorized or intimidated are going unnoticed or unresolved. So we're like, no, you all need to pay attention to our children. So parents are looking for options. I was very pleasantly surprised to hear that most Black parents are looking for school choice. We've been about school choice. And so we decided Before COVID, actually in 2019, after we've been fighting a battle trying to get safe and supportive learning environments created for our Black children, we decided to start these things called micro schools. We found the micro schools at the end of 2019, early 2020, and we started with Prenda, the Prenda model. And as we started to learn, I became a learning guide, got certified. And these micro schools are 5 to 10 student schools. So we decided that during COVID, since our children were sitting at home and they were oftentimes being locked out from the instructional process due to Wi-Fi concerns or internet connectivity issues or just environment at home where they couldn't, that was not conducive for them to learn, we set up these micro schools. And so we started in a nonprofit organization, opened up their doors for us to have some space. We started K through eighth grade and started with 13 students. Well, my goodness, the children really started to thrive. Their parents started to recognize when they had people that looked like them. So we had other mothers, grandparents, as well as Black educators come together. And it was 13 students. It was four of us that got started. And next thing we know, our children who were behind prior to COVID then continued to get further behind during COVID. We found that some of them were as far back as 5 to 6 grades behind. And so we were able to bring many of them up 1 to 2 grades within 4 months. So that was huge. And the children had regained their desire to be at school. We heard that from parents. So after public schools reopened, many of our parents asked us to remain open, and they started to tell their friends about it. And so we have had an influx of students coming our way. So we are growing. So that's what we're doing right now, Curtis. We're growing and we're expanding and we're looking for other buildings so that we can set up more micro schools across our valley.
No, that's outstanding. And I mean, I'm glad you're here, because it's I'm sure you're going to connect with amazing folks here at the conference, mm-hmm. to help grow your movement. As you know, South by Southwest is really positioned or framed as this education technology conference, the opportunity for creators and founders and activists and nonprofit leaders to connect with folks who are in the technology space. So I'm curious, do you see a way where the work that you do at the Black Mothers Forum plays a interfaces with technology, the use of technology? You know, how do you all think about the intersection between what you're doing and the ed tech space?
Yeah, the ed tech space is huge for us because the micro schools actually connect to an online type of curriculum. And so without that online curriculum, it's very difficult for us to do what we do, because our children still have to connect to a curriculum that guides them through their lessons. Many of the adults in the space, while we do have educators in the space, we have parents in the space. So this technology has been huge for us, because during COVID, we had to go into hybrid mode at times when a child when we get notice that a child had COVID or their family member had COVID, we'd have to go into hybrid mode and have the children learn from home. So technology has played a huge, significant part. It's also helped with our training as new educators. While I'm not a quote unquote educator, I'm educated, so I can learn what I need to learn to help a child learn how to read, a child learn how to do their math. So it's been huge for us. I know one of the things that we're looking at now is we're looking to develop these individual development plans, because we recognize that the IEP, the individual education plan, is mainly focused on a special need or some cognitive or academic or even behavior need of the student. And so sometimes that stigmatizes our children. It makes them feel like they are less than. So what we've developed is something called the IDP, the Individual Development Plan. And what we're going to do is use technology to help us to assess where a child stands socially, emotionally, academically, mentally, tap into their desires, tap into their passions, so that we can gear their learning towards what they are passionate about, so that continues to engage them. So looking very much forward to working with some of our EdTech companies that I've met here. And then I also looking at the metaverse, that's a big one, taking our children to spaces they've never been before. So we really are enjoying this conference because I've met some really cool organizations and look forward to speaking with them further after the conference.
No, that's outstanding. Like I said, I think, you know, there's so much that, you know, is happening now in the ed tech space, but it's important that we're at the table, that mm-hmm. we're basically sort of, you know, being talked about, but we're also being part of the discussion around the research, around the implementation and the rollout. I guess this question kind of goes without saying, but talk more about how, you know, the Black Mothers Forum is really centering the experience of Black parents, but also a diverse group of Black parents as well.
Yeah, so what we did and what we've been doing since we started in 2016, we have been meeting monthly with mothers, Black mothers across our valley. And now we have mothers coming in from different states on our virtual meetings and getting to build those relationships and hear, you know, their pain. And most of their pain points center around bullying. And so our focus became, let's create these safe and supportive learning environments as a result of what we're hearing from the parents. So our children feel safe to be themselves, feel safe to make a mistake, feel safe to misbehave and know that they're not going to be penalized. Our parents to feel safe to make mistakes, to not know all the answers and have a space where they can come get the support they need, the parental skills training they may need, the resources they may need for housing, because we've had parents who have lost their homes due to COVID, lost jobs. And so being able to help them outside of the educational setting has been huge, because we recognize, Curtis, that learning takes place everywhere. And so we wanted to make sure that our children and our parents had a safe and supportive learning environment, not only in our particular schools, but at home as well. So we've been doing a lot of work, listening to parents, transportation. As a result of transportation needs, we got a grant to put together a transportation mobile app, sort of like a Uber or a Lyft for our urban areas, which creates supplemental income for some of our families who need it, as well as a way for their children to get to school. So we have been working with our parents and listening to resolve some of their concerns.
I'm so glad to hear that. And I'm glad you're here in Austin, because oftentimes we have these conversations about parents, about particularly Black parents, Black students, and we're not right in the room. I'm also, when I come to conferences like this, I'm always asking myself, not just sort of what's being provided, but what's missing, like, what are we not talking about? And so as you think about, you know, the agenda and, you know, folks, you know, the different sessions and the keynote speakers, like, what are we missing? What are conferences like ASU, GSV, and South by Southwest and, you know, a lot of these education conferences, What is South by Southwest EDU missing? And what are some of the blind spots around the topics and the speakers that in the future you'd recommend South by Southwest EDU incorporates?
Yeah, I believe that the one voice that we haven't heard from is a student voice. We need to have our babies at some of these conferences so they can tell us if the stuff that we've been trying out on them is actually working. Is it taking? Are they engaged? Are they curious? Are they able to understand what they are reading? Because we can do all the assessments, we can put together all the formative data, but we're speaking to the adults. But the adults, we should already have our education down. So it's their turn. So why don't we talk to them and find out what works? How do they receive the information that we are presenting before them? How would they like to receive it? How would they like their instruction disseminated? We talk to our babies all the time, and they tell us all the time, I don't like that. I want to put my hoodie on, and I feel safe in my hoodie. Mm-hmm. And if I feel safe in my hoodie, then I can get some work done. So can I please keep my hoodie on? Versus what they've been told in their current traditional settings, please take the hoodie off. Well, yeah. that does not make them feel safe, but no one's listening to them. It's really what the adult wants in the space. So I believe we need to bring the children in.
That makes sense. I mean, you know, they are, you know, in fact, the reason why we're doing it, you know, they're the ones who I think have a lot more of the answers about the future, about how to apply and utilize some of these topics around artificial intelligence, virtual reality. You know, again, we sort of talk around them, but they're not necessarily at the table. Again, I want to thank you so much for joining me today. You know, this was a great opportunity to talk with you. But I want, before I let you go, I do want to put you sort of in a frame of mind of, you know, time travel and the future of education. This idea of, you know, let's imagine it's 2050. Paint a picture for what schooling, what education, what learning looks like to you for my children, for my grandchildren. What will education look like in 2050 and 2060?
I believe that education will be more individualized. It won't be this rote packaged type of deal where, you know, the teacher in the space, the educator in the space is saying the same thing to everybody. I believe that it's going to be more, this is what I need, this is how I need it, and this is when I need it, and this is how much I need it. Because of the options that the children have currently with technology, I believe technology will be able to assist. I believe the educators won't be standing in front of the children, but they'll be sitting next beside them. And they'll be more in a coaching role. And the child is going to be really, really directing more and more their education. We have a generation now that's upon us that actually are more advanced than we were, Curtis, when we were coming through. They've been exposed to so much more than we were. So let's give them some credit for what they need to know. Yes, we as the adults have the wisdom and we can guide them through behaviors and things like that. And that's what we need to do. But giving them the sense of a freedom and autonomy to be very much responsible for their education and how they're getting it. So I see more technology. I like the metaverse. The metaverse is really fascinating me because I've gone into the metaverse and the opportunities to explore different regions, different occupations, different career paths, behavior choice paths in the metaverse to let the child feel what this will look like. If I do this, this is how this could potentially play out. Man, it blows me away how education can really open up some amazing, amazing thought processes and thought leaders of our future.
No, I'm excited about the future as well. There's no better time than right now to be in education. Conferences like, you know, like South by Southwest, EDU, opportunities for us to come together, meet really, really cool and interesting and passionate people, but to learn, to challenge ourselves and to really, you know, think about a new space, a future of education. So thank you so much for joining me. I appreciate you taking time out from the conference to do so. I'm looking forward to hearing all the great things from the Black Mothers Forum. So excited about what you're doing. Any last words before I let you go?
Yes, Curtis, I'm going to invite you to come to Arizona, meet our students, and actually sit in the space of a micro school. It is one thing for me to speak about it, but it's another thing for you to experience it. Everyone who has come out, they said, I didn't know justice when I spoke about it. Because when you meet these amazing young people, you meet the educators and parents that are with them on a daily basis, it is, you feel the safety, you feel the support, and you feel the excitement and the energy and the engagement of the process of learning. So I will invite you. You have an open invitation to come out and see us.
I'm looking forward to it. And I will take you up on that. I definitely bring my sunblock.
But, right. Bring your sunblock.
I'm looking forward to it. But again, thank you, Janelle Wood and the Black Mothers Forum, what you do. Again, my name is Curtis Valentine. I'm co-director of the Reinventing America Schools Project. This is the Roz Reports podcast on location in Austin, Texas. for the South by Southwest EDU conference. Again, thank you all for joining me today. And please stay tuned to future episodes of the Rise Reports podcast with me, Curtis Valentine. Thank you all so much, and have a great day.
Thanks for listening. Want to learn more about the Progressive Policy Institute? Follow us on Twitter at PPI and on Facebook at Progressive Policy Institute, or go to our website at progressivepolicy.org. Be sure to subscribe wherever you listen and check back for new episodes. We'll talk with you soon.